Welcome to the Level Up English podcast, the best place to come to practice the English language, learn about the British accent and culture, with me, your host, Michael Lavers. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Level Up English podcast. My name is Michael, and today we have a little bit of a different episode. Normally, we just do one episode a month with a guest. However, this month is a bit different, and we'll be doing two. So I hope you don't mind the change in routine. We'll be talking to someone you may have heard before, and this is Cara Leopold from Leo Listening, or leolistening.com. And the reason why we are doing a random episode with a guest in the middle of the month is because it's kind of a good time to do it, because if you're watching this when it comes out in 2023, Cara will be starting a movie club very soon. And I'm going to let her explain everything in the episode so you can learn more about the movie club from her. And today we'll be talking a little bit about the benefits of that, learning English by watching movies, also the benefits of learning as a group. Maybe we'll be sharing some of our recent favorite movies and other things like that. So I really hope you do enjoy this episode, and your feedback is always appreciated. Don't forget, you can also become a member at Level Up English if you want to get access to the transcripts to help you learn and follow these episodes more easily, as well as many, many, many other online courses, lessons, and more. But for now, let's get into our conversation with Cara. Once again, thank you for listening. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I am joined once again by Cara, who you may have seen on a previous episode. So welcome. How are you?
Hi, Michael. Thank you for having me back. I think it's been a couple of years. I don't know if we did a video last time, so maybe people haven't seen me. Maybe they just heard me. Maybe they probably they don't remember. So
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. I think you're right, though. I think you might have been one of the pre-video episodes. So it's nice to have you back, and hopefully people are happy to see you as well and meet you properly.
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
Well, this is a bit of an unusual episode for me because I don't normally do more than one conversation a month. But I thought this is a kind of a special time, and it's something, you know, you've got a lot coming up as well, haven't you? So before we get into our conversation today, would you like to tell us a little bit about your movie club and other stuff you're working on these days?
So I'm Cara, and I run a website called Leo Listening. And yeah, one of the main things I do is running a movie club. So the idea is that, you know, English learners who love watching films come together, and I help them, you know, understand the movies, and then we discuss them together, because I think that movies are better together, you know, not just watched by yourself. And often they're you understand them better when you're discussing them with other people who can help you. And you also kind of watch them in a less superficial way when you're discussing them together, all those good things. And I've been kind of reworking the movie club recently, improving it, adding archives from previous rounds, which are going to be like mini courses within the club. So yeah, there's been a lot going on, a lot of new additions, which I'm excited about, and I'm still working on, so I really need to to speed that up a little bit. Otherwise, the idea is we watch and discuss a new movie each month, and I give you sort of the tools to understand it and learn from it. So and very soon I'll do a sort of 1 week version for people who want to try it out. So instead of using a whole movie, we'll use clips. To be honest, I use movie clips a lot in the main club, because they're really useful for sort of doing more detailed work on pronunciation and listening. And it's much easier to work with the 2 minute clips than with a two hour movie. Although it's very nice to discuss the 2 hour movies, they can be a bit overwhelming. So that's what's going on with me.
Yeah, amazing. That's cool. That's great. So one thing I was wondering is kind of logistically, How does it actually work? So I presume you meet in like a online kind of Zoom room or something like that. Is it like you're watching and talking at the same time, or do you watch and then how does it work in a
right? Yeah, so we actually I've always kept it really simple. So yeah, when we watch a new movie each month, basically everyone in the club just goes off and just watches the movie on their side. So they have to find it. So, you know, sometimes people are lucky and they have the DVD at home, or they stream it somewhere, or there's someone who goes to her library. Her local library has a really good selection of DVDs. Sometimes people download it illegally when we're really struggling.
Of course, you don't condone that.
No, of course not. Of course not. That's your problem if you download it illegally and you get into trouble. Yeah, so everybody watches it on their side, and then they have a workbook and questions. So like as they watch, they can kind of like think about it and kind of get ready to discuss it with other people. So there's sort of that like individual stage. So people just watch it in their own time, however they want. And then, well, in the past we used to use a WhatsApp group, and now I'm moving to like a sort of more grown up discussion forum. So that's going to be on a separate website. But yeah, the idea then is once everyone's watched it, we start discussing it together. And then I also provide clips from the movie, and that's for doing listening and speaking tasks and pronunciation tasks. You know, so I find those online, usually on YouTube. You can find kind of official versions of you know, like licensed versions of movie clips. So the sort of thing that doesn't get taken down a week later. Yeah, so that's it. Then we've got a system where people in the club meet up with each other to discuss the movie. So we use a website called Meetsy, where you put in your, this might interest you actually, because I know you've got a community. And yeah, the idea is you put in your availability, and then Meetsy matches you with somebody else from the community, and you have a little chat together, and there's like built-in video chat, so you don't need like a separate system or whatever. And that's really nice. So people have like got to know each other more and have discussions together. And then at the end of the month, we have a Zoom session together. So, you know, for okay. further discussion. So yeah, lots of opportunities to discuss the movie, whether it's like in the forum with other members of the club and then with everybody together.
Nice. I love hearing about new software and websites and things like that and apps. And I haven't heard of that before, and it sounds like exactly something that could be useful for me. So I might look into that, and maybe the listeners will notice me talking about it next episode or something.
Yeah, definitely. I discovered it on a course I was doing, completely unrelated to anything to do with like language or teaching, and it was just a really nice way to meet the other participants. Yeah, like in a one-on-one setting, because you know, when you're chatting on a discussion forum, it's kind of public, but it's nice to actually chat to people like in a more intimate setting where you've got the time to really, you know, get to know each other and have a discussion. So yeah, I got the idea from there. And yeah, I've been telling other teachers about it who have communities, because yeah, I think it's a really nice way to like strengthen the relationships between people. And also like, I don't think, you know, as teachers, we don't need to be there all the time to hold people's hands. You know, like they're quite capable. Mm-hmm. You know, in Meetsy, you can add like questions, so you can give a kind of framework to help people, so they're not completely on their own. But then, you know, we can trust them to just go off and talk to each other, and often they enjoy that more maybe than talking to us. Yeah, they'd rather talk to each other.
One thing I just wanted to confirm: you have a 1 week movie club.
Yeah.
Coming up soon. It's September 13th,
yeah.
2023. Is that right? If I understand correctly, is that kind of like almost like a preview? Like if people want to join the proper club, this is like kind of seeing what it's like, or have I understood it correctly?
Yeah, no, that's exactly. I've done things like these before. Yeah, kind of like a mini version. Because sometimes it's a bit hard to explain. It's a bit hard sometimes to like understand what exactly it involves. So I like to get people into a sort of smaller versions. I've done like weekend versions before and 1 week versions. So yeah, this will be a week, so people get a chance to like try out the discussion forum, and we'll have a live Zoom session. So it's almost like, it's not obviously not as much as we do normally in a month, but it's kind of condensed into a week. So you get a chance to like taste the different things we do. And like I said, we won't have time to watch a whole movie, but we'll watch clips. Yeah. And the theme is high school movies. So I found some really fun clips from some high school favorites that hopefully people will have seen already.
Nice.
Got some high school movies from the 80s, but also more recent ones as well. So that's kind of to fit in with the time of year, you know, it's time for going back to school for a lot of people. So even if you're not going back to school, it's always fun to immerse yourself in your school days and, or not, because it's certainly, I didn't go to, a lot of these movies are set in American high schools, and that's not what I experienced, but I actually quite like, seeing that kind of American high school experience, which I didn't have, but it's like, oh wow, that looks so cool. With their school looks much better than the school I went to anyway.
Yeah. I love that about many different countries, like seeing movies from Japan or any other country. Like, it's just so interesting how school kids have a totally different life and how things are different around different parts of the world in terms of school and how people are raised. It's kind of, you get like a snapshot into that life and culture.
Yeah, that's what's so awesome about movies, actually. You know, even if you can't travel somewhere, you can kind of travel from your living room. And yeah, I love seeing like, yeah, well, it's just exciting. You know, obviously we went to school in the UK, so we had to wear uniforms. So, you know, any school system where you don't have to wear a uniform is really fascinating because, you know, we're very much indoctrinated into a system where it's like, if you don't wear this uniform, you know, chaos will happen in the school, and you get maybe like one day a year where you're allowed to come in your normal clothes. And that's like a really exciting day when you have your non-uniform day.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I suppose it was kind of nice having to wear uniform because that means you didn't have to worry about, oh, what are my friends going to think of my clothes
that's
today?
True.
Are they going to judge me? Oh, I'm wearing the same shirt as yesterday. What can I do? And it's kind of nice just not to worry about
that. You don't have to think about what you need to wear every day. This is literally the same.
That's pros.
Yeah, there's definitely pros and cons. Anyway, so, but that's it. See, already we're having discussion. We haven't even watched a high school movie together. We've just talked about the concept, and already we're having a really interesting discussion about, you know, school in different cultures. So you can see how quite quickly, you know, movies lead to this kind of discussion. But you need to have people to talk to about them. So this is why I really like, you know, bringing together the people who like movies. So they're not just kind of watching them on their own and struggling and having no one to talk to about them, because, you know, having people to talk to, that really brings the whole thing to life. You know, it's not just the passive experience of watching. It's also then, you know, discussing, listening to what other people thought of the movie, noticing things you hadn't noticed. So, that's the really fun part.
Yeah. I know we already mentioned you have that feature to have one-on-one talks the students do with each other. But when they're discussing with you, how many people is it normal to have in a group?
To be honest, actually, we do one-on-one again in the Zoom part, because I usually put them in breakout rooms, and then we kind of just, we're only together for part of it, just so the groups can kind of like feedback on what they discussed. But I would say people prefer just being with each other, just so they can just talk uninterrupted. I don't know if there are other video conferencing tools that do it, but I mean, Zoom is the one that I know for sure has this breakout room feature, which is really nice for discussion in pairs or like a small group.
Yeah, I use them every lesson because our classes are just too big. And if there's some people who are more shy, then they don't have a chance to talk and they get kind of left out. So breakout rooms are so useful for that, for just people to go into smaller groups and have a discussion. The only problem I found, I don't know if you've had this, but I quite like the pairs, like putting people in pairs into twos to have a talk. But there's always some issues, like someone will have to leave for some reason, their internet will cut out, and there'll be like one or two groups who are just left with one person. So I always tend to leave I always tend to group people in
groups of three, just in case.
To avoid that, yeah. But it's...
That's slightly less ideal.
Yeah, but I don't know if that happens to you, but...
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I think we've mostly been okay. I don't think my groups aren't as big as yours, but... Yeah, if I'd experienced running a club like that for someone else, we were normally okay, but yeah, or odd numbers is kind of annoying, and that you end up making a group of three.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, I guess also that's why we're there, is like to monitor the whole thing and just make sure, you know, if we do notice someone on their own, we have to like move them around. Yeah, but I mean that happens in real life as well. I mean, people don't get disconnected, but you still have to like manage groups and pairs and make sure it's all going okay.
Yeah, there's a whole like another kind of area that teachers have to learn nowadays with all this technology and stuff like that. I don't know if you have to consider this as well, but sometimes you have to maybe think about the level of students. Like, you don't want to pair two students together. Maybe they're both really shy. You know, you kind of want to make sure the personalities match up perhaps and things like that.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, I mean, I would say in movie club, people have a pretty high level, like kind of minimum upper intermediate, if not advanced. So usually like that's not so much of an issue in terms of level. But it's true that, yeah, some people are maybe more chatty than others. So, but yeah, it's also like trusting them to manage the dynamic and not monopolize the conversation or not like just listen and not. But usually they're very interested to like know each other's opinions.
Yeah.
So there's usually no problem there, I would say.
Yeah. I have the same experience. Everyone's so polite and they always want to give everyone a chance to talk. I've never had anyone kind of interrupting people and being rude. I think it's maybe it's just a nice thing that English learners have in common. I don't know. I did want to ask you about your opinion on some benefits of learning as a group. So rather than the kind of more traditional, you know, teacher-student one-to-one relationship, what do you think are some benefits of coming together and learning in bigger groups, or even if it is just pairs of students? What have you seen in your experience?
It's funny that you say like the teacher-student like one-on-one is traditional, because actually, well, it's not really, is it?
Because traditional for me, but yeah.
You know, traditional if you've been teaching online, but actually in sort of real life, I've had very few experiences where I was taught one-on-one, like generally, you know, when you go to school, you're in a class of like 30 students or whatever. So in fact, your normal experience is to learn in a group. But maybe we don't always have like good memories of working in groups or even working in pairs and small groups and stuff like that. I suppose it depends how it's managed. And even then, like if with the whole class, it can be very teacher dominated, like, you know, listen to the teacher, write stuff down, you know, don't participate or whatever. Like depending on kind of the where and when you went to school and how it was all organized. And I would say like with the rise of sort of teaching online, yeah, like the dominant kind of mode has been one-on-one, teacher student. Which I think is really interesting, because that's not how most of us were taught. And I suppose that was really pushed as a sort of like, oh, you know, this is amazing, because like you get to choose what you want to talk about and you don't have to be held back by the others in the group and you get all this personalized attention, which is obviously amazing and it can be really helpful. But I think that doesn't necessarily prepare you well for the actual world, you know, outside of a one-on-one classroom with your teacher. You know, like I focus a lot on listening skills, because, you know, movie dialogue is hard to understand and it's hard to understand without subtitles. And this is often why one-on-one lessons don't work for listening skills, because, you know, your teacher, if they know what they're doing, they're going to adapt their language to your level. Mm-hmm. They're going to speak more slowly. They're going to think more carefully about, you know, shall they structure their sentences to make them sort of simpler and whatever. You know, they do all these things to ensure that you understand. Whereas, you know, once you step outside the classroom and you start actually talking to people, not just like native speakers, but, you know, obviously English is spoken by so many people with so many different accents, so many different levels. There's so much variation. I think if you only do one-to-one teacher-student lessons. It doesn't really prepare you for what you're actually going to experience in the real world.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's really cool to, yeah, put students together, because then they're actually talking in a situation which they're, the situation they're most likely to encounter is talking to other learners of English with, you know, variety of accents and, you know, all those things.
Yeah. I mean, that's been my experience too. And I always think, I mean, there are many people out there who think, I just want to listen to, you know, receive pronunciation English, and I want to practice with that. But I mean, firstly, if you compare the numbers on a kind of statistical point of view, there are so many more people who speak English in the world with other accents other than, you know, that native British accent. And you're more likely to encounter them. And from a more experiential point of view, if, say, you come to London and you go to the common places where people go, like Big Ben or Buckingham Palace or whatever, central London, the people you're likely to meet in the street, I would say maybe, you know, 50% or more chance that they're not British.
Yeah.
Sometimes I walk through London, I don't hear any English. It's all different languages. So maybe these group classes are quite a good representation of the real world in some places, right? Where you're hearing all these different accents that you need to get used to as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I totally agree for somewhere like London, because people think, oh, that's like quintessentially British, but it's like, it's like the biggest city in Europe, and there's a lot of, you know, inward migration, a lot of people from all over the world there. So actually, I mean, if you wanted a real immersion in like authentic British English, you'd have to go to a smaller town or a smaller city. Yeah, we were in Glasgow and Edinburgh over the summer, and Edinburgh especially, it's a very touristy place. You hear a lot of, you know, like Italian and Spanish and all sorts, really. Even in Glasgow, we're hearing more and more different languages, different accents. People from all over the place are coming. I mean, Glasgow is quite a big city. It's not as big as London, but it was maybe a bit less the case when I was growing up in Scotland and I was in a village. Although actually there were quite a lot of people from different countries in the village. There were at least three families where the mum was Dutch. So, and not only my parents mentioned to me, like, oh, do you remember those Icelandic people we used to go and visit? And I'm like, who are you talking about? Like, we grew up in a village, but there was actually quite a lot of people from different places. So, that was like my early introduction to, you know, people who are not native speakers of English, but, you know, living quite happily, in Scotland with their accents. And so more diverse than you think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Another one that I found personally is students learning from each other. I imagine you have a similar experience, but sometimes when one student doesn't know something, another student kind of fills in the blanks for them. And maybe that's happening directly, like they're giving them, oh, this is the answer, I believe, which is really helpful to the one who's learning, but also helpful to the person who's teaching, the student who's telling them, because teaching is a great way of learning and kind of solidifying the knowledge. But yeah, definitely. I think it happens unconsciously too, doesn't it? Like when another student is talking, you might notice something they did correctly or incorrectly that you can learn from and use in your own English. So that's another idea. I guess you've found that as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, people can, fill in each other's blanks and, support each other. I mean, that's something I actually used to do sometimes. You talked about, like, levels, but when I used to teach in sort of physical classrooms and there was a variety of levels in the same group, sometimes I would, like, mix stronger students with weaker ones so that the stronger ones could help the weaker ones, which maybe they resented a bit, but like you say, it actually has this benefit of, it consolidates your own, your own knowledge. You can help the other person to improve Yeah, with the specific case of movies, I mean, what I've noticed is that, you know, the members of the club, they sort of like, they notice things in the films that I didn't notice. So they have insights that I didn't necessarily have. So I think that's really interesting because it almost puts them in a position of like power because they get, you know, they get to share this cool stuff that they noticed or this analysis they had of the film. You know, because me being a native speaker doesn't really give me necessarily an advantage in terms of, understanding the film just from the point of the dialogue. But there's so many other aspects to it because there's, you know, all the visual elements and the symbols and the sort of hidden meanings and all that. And that's a whole other layer. I don't have like a background in film or anything. So I've been learning all this kind of thing as I've been running a movie club. And, you know, I always give the students links to other resources about the film, like reviews and sort of analysis videos on YouTube and all that. And that also helps us because sometimes we're like, didn't really understand what this film was about. But then when we read an analysis, we're like, oh, okay, now like it makes more sense because it's all metaphors or something. And we sort of understand it a bit better. But but that's often the feedback from the student is like, oh yeah, so-and-so noticed this really cool thing. Or notice like this part about the ending, which didn't make sense. And yeah, I think that's really nice when they can share those insights. And, you know, you don't have to have perfect English to do that. You just have to be observant and reflective and, you know, take the time to watch the movie really thoroughly and notice these things.
I imagine you might have come across a YouTube channel called New Rockstars. Do you know them?
Don't think so, no.
Oh, okay. They have quite a specific genre of movies they look at.
Right.
They do kind of like analysis and stuff like that. They've done a lot of like Marvel movies, which I'm not interested in, but they also do a lot of TV series, like TV shows.
Okay.
So what's a recent one? They've done like a lot of popular ones. Like they did the Mandalorian episodes. They did The Last of Us. And things like this. So what I would do is I would watch an episode of this series and I would go on YouTube afterwards and watch about a 30-minute video of them analyzing
right.
all the Easter eggs and hidden details and stuff. It's amazing. But New Rockstars, I don't know if that would be useful for you.
Oh, I should look them up. Yeah, I quite like the analysis on, there's the channel The Take. They have some really good analysis of movies, yeah, and also TV shows. I was watching their videos about Breaking Bad. I would say that's probably one of the most analyzed TV shows just because it's so rich in, you know, meanings and layers and stuff like that. So I've come across so many YouTube channels doing these really in-depth analyses of films like the one you mentioned. It's just amazing that it's all available for free.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the level of detail they go into, it's like going to film school or something. So I'm very, very grateful to all the movie bloggers, movie YouTubers. And then there's some fun stuff you can watch, like there's the Honest Trailers channel. That's very funny. The people make their movie reaction videos, you know, when people watch a movie for the first time, those are quite funny as well. So yeah, we try to watch a mixture of like serious analysis and then also like just silly videos as well. So
sometimes I've had it before where the analysis video is actually more enjoyable than the movie itself. I can think of a few that have been like that, which is funny.
Oh, right. That's awesome. Yeah.
I did want to ask you, do you have like a favorite movie in terms of one that you use for teaching? Like, is there one that you really enjoy because it brings up a good discussion or for some other reason like that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would say, we've watched so many good movies. I would say one of our movie club favorites is Groundhog Day. So
okay. I know about it, but I haven't actually seen
it. Have you ever seen it? It's its 30th anniversary this year. It came out in 1993. We watched it because we were watching kind of a series of movies starring Bill Murray. Because obviously he's made a lot of really great films over his career, and that's one of the most kind of iconic. He's very, very funny in the movie. And if you like look at the movie on a superficial level, so for people who don't know it, in Groundhog Day, Bill Murray plays a weatherman called Phil Connors, who gets stuck in a time loop in a town that he hates, that he travels to for work, and he wakes up every day and it's the same day. So he's obviously very frustrated and upset, and he tries lots of ways to get out of the time loop. So on a superficial level, like, it's just like a funny sort of comedy with also some romantic elements, because there's a sort of romantic storyline with his colleague Rita. And so that's, you know, that's nice. But then on a deeper level, it is actually quite a profound movie, and there's a lot of religious leaders, you know, rabbis, priests, etc., who've, you know, written to the director saying, oh, this is our movie. You made the movie about Judaism, or you made the movie about Buddhism. This is like, so, I mean, there's like the reincarnation element, but there's also, okay, not to spoil the movie too much. So yeah, Phil is stuck in this time loop and he does all kinds of things to get out of it. But eventually he actually kind of makes peace with the fact that he's stuck. And what's really amazing is his character arc. So I mentioned Breaking Bad earlier. Breaking Bad, we've got character arc where somebody goes from sort of good family man to sort of like evil drug kingpin. And then in Groundhog Day, it's kind of the opposite. So Phil goes from a very selfish, arrogant, self-absorbed person to a helpful, kind, community-oriented guy with lots of interesting hobbies. Because he eventually figures out a way to make the most of his time. So yeah, and I think that's a really good movie, and you can apply it to so many things. So one of my students said her dad was kind of worried about retirement, you know, retiring from his job and not working every day anymore. And what's he going to do with his time? And I was like, well, he needs to watch this movie. Like, that will give him a new perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think just for all of us, when we're sort of frustrated with our life or bored, or wondering where life is going and maybe feeling like we're a bit stuck, I think the movie has great lessons for all of us. You know, when we're feeling in a bit of a self-pitying mode, we can look to that movie and remind ourselves, you know, how Phil evolves and how we can be like Phil when he, you know, when he evolves into a better person. So that's it's a really deep movie, and it's funny. Like, it's got all the elements, and I think that's why it's such a classic. So yeah, I think you need to watch it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I basically know exactly everything that happens. I've seen clips of it on YouTube, and because it is such a famous movie, I'll probably watch it eventually.
Yeah.
it sounds
good. No, it is really, really good. It still holds up really well. I mean, obviously it looks a bit dated, but the message is so like universal and profound that I think people will still be watching it in the decades to come.
Yeah, it's a nice example. I think a lot of movies back then do still hold up. I think that's like before they started running out of ideas, you know, back in those days. I'm always quite slow to catch up with these things. Like, you've been speaking about Breaking Bad. I only watched it for the first time this year. Quite enjoyed that. So I'm a bit slow for these things. But I did want to ask you more generally. I believe the last time we spoke, I probably asked you about favorite movie. But to be a bit more specific, have you seen a movie or TV series recently for the first time that you might say has been your favorite of the year or favorite of recent times?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's tricky because I would say I watch fewer TV series now just because I'm kind of busy watching a new movie every month in movie clubs. You know, I live in France, and yeah, we usually watch quite a lot of like trashy just TV on the French TV. So just like stupid stuff, you know, not even good. Not even TV series, like silly dubbed versions of American TV shows. Although that said, the two like TV series that I have kind of been keeping up with are the series Dave, which is about a Jewish white rapper who has ADD and is very neurotic. That's very funny. Yeah, I like that one. And it, again, that's actually quite, it actually deals with some quite, you know, it's a comedy, but it also deals with some, you know, deeper topics. Although I do think it's really challenging to understand. So just be wary of that. Mm-hmm. And the other, the other series that I like to follow is What We Do in the Shadows, which is about vampires living in Staten Island near New York. And it's like a fake documentary. That's very funny. That's a good series. And I suppose, one that I really, really liked, which I think has come to an end now, is the series Derry Girls, which was a Channel 4 series, but I think we watched it on Netflix. And so it's about a group of teenagers in Northern Ireland during the troubles, during the times of conflict in Northern Ireland. There's a whole complicated history there. So it's like about them. It's very funny, and it's about them, you know, as teenagers doing all the teenage things, but with also this backdrop of like bomb scares and stuff like this, because they're in mm-hmm. Londonderry in Northern Ireland. And that was a really, really good series, really well done, a really good like recreation of the 1990s. So like I think the kitchen in one of the girls' houses, like it's the exact same kitchen that my grandmother had in the 90s. Like it looks like the exact same cupboards and everything. Very, very, very authentic. Probably makes more sense if you are from the UK, but it's very challenging in terms of accent, because that Northern Irish accent is quite hard to understand. So approach with caution, and also maybe with a bit of background knowledge about what was happening in Northern Ireland at that time. But it ends on a positive mm-hmm. note, definitely.
I mean, that's great, because you seem to be much more up to date on the ball when it comes to TV stuff compared to me, because I haven't heard of any of them. I'm really far behind. I don't know a lot of this.
You've only just finished Breaking Bad finished, like, I didn't follow it, like, in real time. But, I mean, it finished in 2013.
Yeah.
And 10 years later, it started in, like, 2009.
I'm 10 years out of date. I'm 10 years behind everything.
So. You're 10 years out of date, yeah. I'm surprised you haven't, like, seen all the spoilers or something, you know, if you wait too long, like...
No, I mean, I've done pretty good at avoiding them. I just don't... Whenever I see something like that, I just
well
click
done.
Off. I'm quite proud of myself.
It's like, I'll watch that one day. Don't spoil it for me.
I mean, I do get a lot of questions from people asking, like, what's a good TV show to watch? So maybe I can just point them to you in the future, because I never know what to say.
I mean, I don't know if those are, I don't know if they're the best for English learners. I mean, I enjoyed
sure
them,
but
they would be challenging.
Well, we're kind of running out of time a bit here, but I wonder if you could once again tell us a little bit more about the movie club, maybe both the 1 week one and the other one, and where people can go to find out more about that.
So the 1 week club, so it's the back to school movie challenge. It's going to be based on clips from famous high school movies like Ferris Bueller's Day Off or Mean Girls. So that's 13th to the 20th of September. You get a workbook, you get a discussion forum, and there will be a Zoom call at the end. I'll give you the link for that to put in the show notes. And then just after that finishes, I'll open the enrollment for like the main movie club. So that's like a monthly membership. So you can join it for a month. Just to try. If you like it, you can stay. If you don't like it, you can leave. It's absolutely up to you. And that comes with 30 like mini courses based on all the other movies we've watched. And then in addition to that, every month you like watch, understand and discuss a new movie. So in October, which is more or less when we'll start. We'll do the enrollment at the end of September and then start in October. So in October, we'll watch a horror movie called Get Out, which is a really cool and recent horror film. So that will be our movie for October. So if you want to join us, again, there will be the link somewhere under
yeah.
this.
I'll put it
near this.
Yeah. I'll make it clear.
On the internet. Yeah, somewhere. It'll be somewhere.
Yeah, nice. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
You have been listening to the Level Up English podcast. If you would like to leave a question to be answered on a future episode, then please go to levelupenglish.school/podcast. That's levelupenglish.school/podcast. And I'll answer your question on a future episode. Thanks for listening.